The MarTech Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
From advertising to software as a service to data.
Across all of our programs and clients, we've seen a 55 to 65% open rate.
Getting brands authentically integrated into content performs better than TV advertising.
Typical lifespan of an article is about 24 to 36 hours.
If we're reaching out to the right person with the right message and a clear call to action, then it's just a matter of timing.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. In this podcast, you'll hear the stories of world-class marketers that use technology to drive business results and achieve career success. Here's the host of the MarTech Podcast, Benjamin Shapiro.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast. I'm Benjamin Shapiro, the executive producer of the MarTech Podcast, and today we've got a special episode for you, which is going to be guest hosted by Juan Mendoza, the author of the MarTech Weekly Newsletter. Juan is a recovering MarTech consultant turned creator who writes an amazing weekly newsletter about the MarTech industry, and I'm thrilled to invite him and some of his friends to take the mic and share their knowledge with you, our loyal MarTech Podcast listeners. All right, here's a special episode of the MarTech Podcast, guest hosted by Juan Mendoza, the author of the MarTech Weekly Newsletter.
Welcome back, marketeers. My name is Juan Mendoza from the MarTech Weekly. I am your guest host for the MarTech Podcast, and today we're going to discuss A/B testing and high-performing landing pages. Joining me is Alex Nazarevich, who's the VP of Growth at Unbounce. Unbounce is a bit of a household name in the MarTech world. They're a global leader in the landing page and the conversion rate optimization space, really empowering marketers to build and optimize landing pages without needing a web developer or an engineer to do that. So they are firmly in the no-code space. So Alex and I are going to discuss the resurgence of A/B testing. A/B testing has gone through multiple phases over the past decade, from being a very niche, very focused community of people that run conversion rate optimization on company websites and for their clients, right through to now becoming a multi-product manager, totally evolved, very technical, very also large scale in terms of programs, particularly around larger companies. So today we're going to talk about what happened along the way and why is A/B testing coming back. So please help me welcome Alex Nazarevich. He's the VP of Growth at Unbounce. Alex, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Juan. It's great to be here.
So can you paint the picture for us? What happened? Can you tell us a story of A/B testing? Because you're saying that there's a bit of a resurgence, but what is that?
I think that with A/B testing, it's one of those things that as marketers, we all knew we should be doing all along, but maybe along the way, we sort of lost the plot. So I feel like we've kind of been spoiled, right? Limitless marketing budgets, zero interest rate environment, growth at all costs. And I feel like, you know, in the past couple of years, that's all changed. Marketing budgets are tight. Inflation's eating us all up. So customers are getting stingier with what they want to pay. They're really looking for value. And on top of that, third-party data is going extinct. So it's harder to know who you're talking to, what they want, and CPAs haven't gone down. So you can't just throw money at the problem. So if you have unsustainable marketing practices or your marketing fund was built on a shaky foundation, you're out of luck. The tide's going out and you're going to be left exposed. So this is why these old, I don't even want to call them old, but tried and true marketing fundamentals are coming back. And one of those is A/B testing.
It's interesting because A/B testing, I think traditionally have solved problems for performance marketing and SEO professionals. That's where I kind of see it originating, where say you're running a lot of ads on Facebook or on Instagram or on TikTok and whatnot. You're driving traffic to your website or you're an SEO practitioner and you're optimizing for keywords and you're driving traffic organically through search. And those two sources, those two channels or people responsible for those always find that bottleneck with the website where they're like, well, we want to drive the right audiences, but they're not converting. Why aren't they converting? Oh, let's run some A/B tests. And I feel as though that's the origin story for A/B testing. But I'm interested because you've worked in a lot of e-commerce and a lot of retail, and I'm sure you've seen this firsthand. But is that where we kind of started with A/B testing?
You're right. That's exactly it. It's like we knew, it's the old adage of, I know that I'm wasting 50% of my marketing budget. I just don't know which half I'm wasting. And I think that A/B testing was born out of a need to solve for that. It's like, aside from being able to attribute which channel your customers were coming through, it was like, how much better could this really be? And I think that's where this all came from. Like, I think you're exactly right. I think my earliest experience with A/B testing was running competing variants of paid ads and seeing which one performed better. And that's, I think, how a lot of us got our start in the space.
That's exactly where I came from anyway. One of my first jobs was in a conversion rate optimization agency. And our strongest partners and where a lot of our customers came from were the SEO agencies and the performance marketing agencies. Because they're like, hey, our clients are screaming down the phone saying, why aren't customers converting? Why aren't customers converting? Why aren't customers converting? So they go, well, how are we going to fix that? Oh, we need a specialist conversion rate optimization team to help to find the insight around why customers aren't buying and then to run experiments so they can build on that insight to feed that back. You know, the beautiful thing about that whole process, I guess, is that the conversion rate optimization, the A/B testing side, is like probably the strongest source of insight across that entire supply chain of paid media, website traffic, conversion, and then on to ongoing retention and growth. And the reason I say that is because A/B testing is based on causality, based on the statistics, based on either the Bayesian or other methodologies. What is the causality of conversion, or what is the causality of a change in the behavior? And then getting down to the science of that is where you get those real insights. And of course, those insights don't just live on the website. They also influence paid media. They influence how you do SEO. They influence about how you position your products and your pricing and the whole business, really. So that's the beautiful thing I found about A/B testing. So maybe what you can help me with is, okay, so that was kind of where we started. That was a germination period, perhaps, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, 2012 to 2014 or 15 or so. You know, it's not a very old industry, A/B testing, conversion rate optimization. So where did it go wrong? Did it decline in popularity? Did people have different views or beliefs about what it should be? What are your thoughts?
I feel like it was a bit of a death by a thousand cuts. What gave it oxygen in the beginning is also what kind of starved it of oxygen as time went on. I think that, as you said, like we got started in A/B testing because it was such an effective way to prove the validity of what you're doing and prove here is the value I'm driving for you as my client, or here's the value I'm bringing to the business. And suddenly as a marketer, you could really show I am welded to the financial success of this company. But then I think it became a bit of an arms race where new channels started opening up. People started advertising across Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. And as the digital marketing engine started roaring to life, at the same time, I think that there was this unprecedented liquidity out there. And this is kind of like dabbling more on the finance side. But as a digital marketer, as your budget got going, it was like, as long as things were growing, it was more important to keep growing as it was to show efficiency. And now for the first time ever, I think we're really faced with these more limited budgets and your CFO scaling back. It's like, where can you cut? And you have to justify what parts of your funnel are performing and you have to do more with less. So now we're back in that original position, I think, of wanting to not only justify what's working, but really showing, yeah, like marketing still is here. So I think that's one part of it. And I think the second part too is this idea of like third party, first party, zero party data. The other thing that we kind of got spoiled with 2014, 2015 was, I'm going to call it peak third party data. So we were able to attribute my customers are coming from these ads via these channels, stitched together with other data that I have, and get a really complete picture of the customers, of their demographics, of all these attributes on them, and we could deliver a really personalized experience, or so we thought. So it was, why do I need to optimize when I've got room to grow budget-wise, I'm expanding in all my channels, and I'm going the way of personalization? And I would argue that we thought we were doing personalization, but we're kind of in that uncanny valley. It's like, this is third-party data. Do you really know how accurate this is? And then, of course, we as consumers started waking up and saying, hey, there's this extreme overshare of data, and people became a little more cautious of what they share online. And I would say now we're in that position where with Google deprecating a lot of third-party data later this year, well, we don't necessarily know from third-party sources who's visiting us and how. We don't have the budget to spend our way out of this. So we need to be able to deliver this personalized experience segment by segment and get really keen on what is driving these people to buy. So I'd say that's the rebirth of A/B testing right there.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, because it's no secret that paid media costs have gone up, particularly with about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when Apple really started clamping down on data sharing, data collection in apps, and then also third-party cookie deprecation is becoming a major issue. So what that's actually doing is it's increasing the cost, particularly on social media and search, for advertising dollars, right? So advertisers wanting to get the best bang for their bucks, the days of cheap advertising are kind of over. So I can see what you're saying there, where there's this resurgence of A/B testing because of the cost pressures of doing advertising online now. It's unbelievably, like, it's increased by tenfold, I think, in most cases, just from now to, say, 2018. Unbelievable amount of cost increase just for paid media. So I could see why folks are like, yes, we need to ensure that every single dollar we get in is driving that growth for our customers because there's far less margin for error, which is interesting, isn't it? Because A/B testing is not a cheap thing often. It's not something where you can run for a couple thousand dollars a month. It requires a team. It requires analytics. It requires a designer. It requires someone that can manage it and find those insights and create the strategies, right? Those are all roles in a business or a consultancy to help support that. So it's interesting to see this increasing cost in spending, increasing costs for advertising, but then also increased spending for A/B testing programs.
That's a really good point, actually. And I think that's the interesting thing, too, is to some degree, your A/B testing program can be as robust as you make it. And I think how I've seen this work is people implement it in a way that works for them. So in theory, yes, you've got all these roles that are supporting this grand strategy. But I think how it plays out more often than not is you've got one or two very itinerant marketing folks who are like, I've got goals to hit. There's a gap between what I've got to spend and where I want to be. And I need to make every lead count. And it's as much about validating the changes that you're making as it is about having this grand design of an A/B testing program. Although that's like sort of the gold standard. I think a lot of smaller businesses especially can sort of get by with maybe like a silver standard where you've got one person sort of leading that or occupying multiple roles. And again, that it's particularly acute in a smaller business, smaller team, smaller budget, because you want to validate that the changes that you're making are actually driving the results that you expect they're going to drive.
A special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, the marketing mix modeling platform that makes measuring ROI fast, easy, and cost-effective. Request a demo at mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Time for a one-minute break to hear from our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. In 1919, John Wanamaker said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. I just don't know which half." Well, the advertising landscape has changed since then, and instead of reaching your audience on two channels, you're probably reaching them on 20. Turns out John didn't know how easy he had it. But that doesn't mean that you should give up on striving towards marketing effectiveness. No matter how complex your marketing strategy is, Mutinex Growth OX is the market mix modeling platform that measures the impact of marketing on your bottom line. Mutinex's market mix modeling platform calibrates your insights against the latest market conditions so you can make media and marketing investment decisions confidently and quickly. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, your best decision starts here. To learn more about Mutinex, go to mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Okay, here's the rest of today's interview.
I think that's a really quite valuable point to bring here is that if you're a marketer listening to this episode, there's something to be said about where you allocate your funds and where you actually invest, because investing in paid media is a bet. Same as investing in CRO and A/B testing. I've been a part of a few programs that haven't turned out so well. We couldn't find the insight. It wasn't enough traffic, or there was too much dysfunction in the team, or, you know, we could never get A/B test launched to be kind of almost like a money pit. But I want to bring this back a little bit, because what's interesting about Unbounce and your work there is that you guys try and make that experimentation, that landing page process much easier to do and much cheaper, much more cost effective. Can you talk to me a little bit about that and how Unbounce sort of supports that cost equation?
Unbounce offers a solution that allows you to be that one person, that sort of all-purpose marketer. So if you are a generalist or you're sitting on a team where you don't necessarily have this big testing apparatus, it makes it really easy to do all in one platform. So you're building your landing pages in Unbounce, and then with a couple of quick clicks of a button, you can create a variant. You've got this other version of the page that you can test. you can layer on some additional AI prompted copy. And it's as simple as that if you don't have the time to come up with your own copy or come up with which elements you want to test. So we really do everything possible to make it so that you can start A/B testing like in the span of an afternoon. We just want to remove as much friction as possible because we're of the viewpoint that the most important thing is to just get started. It can be very daunting, and we want to take that away and make it as unintimidating as possible. So we all know how, but we all want to do a really good job. And then when you get in the platform, once you've got your page created, we make it very obvious, I would say, and very simple to create a variant, turn it on, and then just set it and forget it, knowing full well that all of the complex parts, the Bayesian modeling, all of the statistical significance is being calculated on the back end of the program. You just show up, we let you know when stat sig has been achieved and you're good to go.
Yeah, it's very interesting because, again, there's this middle gap between companies that really have been able to scale experimentation and they are able to run dozens, hundreds of tests a month. They've got a full analytics data science team supporting that. They've got a development team and there's a lot of complexity there. And then you've got small business, which is like, yeah, we don't have enough traffic and there's no point in doing any sort of optimization. And then you have this spot in between, which is quite interesting, which is these companies that say they're doing a couple million in revenue. They're not huge enterprise businesses, but they really need to improve their ROI on marketing. Let's take, for example, if you wanted to hire in-house those three roles I mentioned, your designer, your strategist, and your analytics person, and not including your developers, you're looking at $200,000-$300,000 a year just on those three roles. Maybe it's a bit less with consultancies, but if you wanted to do it in-house, you're spending $300,000-$500,000 a year just on those roles to run a basic A/B testing program. And I would say that in most cases, that's maybe 4 to 5 tests per month. And it's not going to be a huge amount. So I kind of like this idea of how do you make it really easy to run experiments without this huge overhead of staff time and costs. As you say, marketers can go in and run their own tests, but also have the rigor around it and also have the sort of statistical chops to say this is actually driving causality as best to our knowledge. So I think there's still a big middle ground there. And of course, there's so many companies between that sort of $2 to $5 to $10 million range that it would just make sense, I guess, to not have to invest so much into an entire team to build everything from scratch. So I guess that's a bit of a catch-22 in A/B testing is that the big teams can do all the crazy fun stuff. The small teams do nothing. And then people in the middle are kind of scratching their heads often going, oh, how do we do this without having to spend so much?
Totally. And see, we're in the enviable position where we've got what I call a pretty built-out marketing team at Unbounce, hopefully, right? Of course we do. But then also, we've got all these ideas that we want to implement, and sometimes we just want to go for it. So for example, we had a specific theme or concept that came up, let's say a senior leadership meeting, and then me and the team just swarmed it. And it didn't require bringing in any big changes to the existing plans we had in place. We just got a bunch of us together in a room as marketing leaders, as marketing generalists, came together, determined a bunch of elements we wanted to test, implemented them, and then essentially sat back and collected the results just like one after the other. So it's even good if you're in that medium to large space and you are wanting to pivot quickly on something, it lets you sort of circumvent that traditional process or architecture and just get like a quick and dirty lay of the land. Here's where we're pivoting. Let's validate it. And I think that, again, that's something that our tool let us do. And I think is pretty applicable to a lot of our customers as well.
I would agree with that. I think that there's a lot of really good value in that middle space in between. And it is interesting also to see Unbounce's growth. Unbounce itself, I'm sure, is doing a lot of A/B testing experimentation, but the company's grown to more than $30 million in annual revenue. And the origin story is fascinating in that, you know, it started with a couple of co-founders and then they really just saw this problem in the market and then built it over many, many years. And then now here you are. So A/B test experimentation, I think the main through line here is that why people are going back to it. It's not just because of cost pressures. I think it's because of a genuine desire to get truth about their customers. And the best way to do that is through the scientific process of experimentation. So this conversation has been really fascinating, but I do want to leave our audience with one more thing. If you could share over your entire experience with A/B testing, what would be one thing that you've implemented or done in your own career that's kind of ensured that your success in this space?
Man, if you ask me this every year, you're going to get a different answer. I'm going to assume that most digital marketers are pretty familiar with A/B testing and are at the stage where it's like, we need to do more. Maybe we don't know how to get started. I would say that disabusing myself of the notion that there are certain things that work because we know they do has made me better. Like there are things that I've implemented unilaterally. I've pulled like the boss card and said, implement this. We know this is marketing best practice. Let's just do it. And then we're surprised when we don't see an immediate lift from it. Conversely, sometimes we'll update as part of a rebrand or a repositioning, and some of the graphics that will change out, we'll compare one or the other, and the graphic maybe doesn't have anything to do with our checkout or pricing page or anything, but we'll see that it drives an improvement in click-through to the pricing page by like double digits. And it's like, I don't even necessarily know why it worked, but there's obviously something that did. So the more that you can commit yourself to trying these things and to actually testing all these little pieces of marketing that you're updating on a day-to-day basis, the more complete picture you'll actually build about your customer. And that's way better than anything you could have ever got third-party data. So what you're getting in return is invaluable.
Well, that is a fantastic tip. Keep the bias to action and continue to pursue those tests, because if you keep digging, you'll find some gold.
Exactly.
So that was Alex Nazarevich. He's the VP of Growth at Unbounce. Thank you so much for joining us. This wraps up our first episode. Join us tomorrow in part two. Alex and I are going to discuss something a little bit different, which is building high-performance landing pages without a developer. So we'll be delving into no-code and the trade-offs and the value opportunity of building experiences for customers without relying on engineers or developers. So if you can't wait for our next episode, you'd like to learn more about Alex, you can find his LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or you can visit his company website at unbounce.com. Alex, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks to our guest host, Juan Mendoza, the author of the MarTech Weekly Newsletter. If you'd like to get in touch with Juan, you could find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or you can contact him on Twitter. His handle is Juan Mendoza, but it's spelled crazy pants. It's J-U-4-N-M-E-N-D-0-Z-4. Or it's a little easier to just visit his company's website, which is themartechweekly.com. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to martechpod.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletters, and you can even send us your topic suggestions or your marketing questions, which we'll answer live on our show. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is MarTechPod, MARTECHPOD, on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or you can contact me directly. My handle is Ben J. Schaap, BenJShap. And if you haven't subscribed yet and you want a daily stream of marketing and technology knowledge in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day this year. So hit the subscribe button in your podcast app, and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, my advice is to just focus on keeping your customers happy.
Thanks for listening to the MarTech Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. Looking to launch or scale a podcast like this one for your brand? Then visit iheareverything.com.